when we have Isabella sing and all these other young people, it reminds me how poorly I sing. It reinforces that some of us just can't do everything. Let me start with prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I ask so very much that you instill in me the message that you wish to be presented. I pray that you'll remove anything from my heart but that of being a servant's heart, and that the message you have for us will ring true to our ears, and that we'll have the courage and the desire to move forward with this message and apply it to our lives and share it with others. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, looking up or looking forward, I presented this message about almost 3 years ago to the day. And I was inspired to present it to you again. I think it's even more apropos today than it was even 3 years ago. And going through it and working through this this message, it really resonated with me. You have to understand, most of the time, the topics that I, always with me, the topics that I bring up are always ones that are important to me that I need to be working on. Most of the time, y'all are just byproducts of me giving myself a message. And y'all are like being able to look inside and see that Johnny needs help too. And these things that most of the messages I bring up is because I need to be looking up and not looking forward. So when I ask, looking up or looking forward, what I'm asking is, are we looking forward to heavenly things or worldly things? When I ask, are we looking up and looking forward, are we preparing for our future in heaven? Are we most concerned about earth and its problems? When I say, are we looking up or looking forward, I'm asking, are our concerns focused on most in getting the most out of the world that we live in now while we're here? Or are we working on allowing our character to be developed as we learn to trust in Jesus to change us for our time in heaven? Do we know but for the return of Jesus, we in this world would be so corrupt and so evil that we would eventually destroy ourselves and everything else around us? Or do we think that we can make this world a better place for all, and the scriptures are wrong about the end time? Is Jesus literally coming again, or is it more an internal God in each of us? Is it a spiritual enlightenment that we search for that's already within us and we just need to kind of tap into it? Does it matter what you know about Scripture, or does it matter what you don't know about Scripture? As an Adventist Christian, I say yes, it does matter. We must know what and why we believe and how we know it to be true, because the Bible tells us so. It should matter to the person that does not know Jesus and his promises, that should they accept him and his sacrifice, they are assured to spend eternity in heaven. As Adventists, or if that person chooses not to accept his sacrifice, they need to know that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter what a great husband they are, or a great neighbor, or a great employer or employee. That is not how we get to heaven. In fact, when we do get to heaven, we're going to be surprised of some of those that are there. And we're going to be disappointed of some of those that are not there. And we're not going to know why. Why is Johnny not there? He was up front. He spoke. He sure was busy in the church. But where's Johnny? But my crazy Uncle George, he made it. Explain that. As Adventist Christians, we are charged to tell the world of Jesus and his shed blood Amen. We are to tell the world of his imminent return. We must be the sounding bell that it is sooner rather than later. There's a time that God, and only God knows, that he will close the doors to Satan's control here on earth. That upon that moment, upon his son's return, there will be no more time to decide on which God you are going to serve. As Adventists, we are given the responsibility to shout to the world that the end is near, and we must prepare for his return. I hope that today's message presents this thought. It is not our role to sit back and just wait for Jesus to return, but to be watchful and to tell the world to prepare as well. We can never work hard enough or be good enough to entice Jesus to come. He comes despite our weaknesses. He comes despite our frailties. He comes to save us, not applaud us of our great efforts and our accomplishments. Jesus sees no value in our ability to lift mankind's nature because we cannot. We can try to convince ourselves that we can make the world a better place. But if you read the good book, the last book of the good book tells us the exact opposite of that. So if you see the world getting better, there's a problem. You're not seeing the world. It's when you see trouble, then you know you're on the right chapter and the right page. Only the Holy Spirit can make that change in us. You know, if you can think back to the year 2000, many thought the world could end or was maybe the beginning of the end. Some of you aren't old enough to understand that, but at that time there was a concern that the computers, you remember that, us? The computers wouldn't read the date correctly. Many thought that when that year 2000 hit, that the software programs on our computers wouldn't read it correctly. And so our computers wouldn't light up. Our factories wouldn't start. Our banking system was going to collapse. Plants that ran on the automation, you know, Ford Motor Company couldn't run anymore until they could get it squared away. There was a very anxious time at that time. We are told to look for end time events, are we not? To be prepared? We're supposed to be looking. Each time one of these events take place that seems to fulfill a prophecy or prediction of the coming in, it passes. We mark it up as ramblings of men and other misdirected religious groups, or maybe a misunderstanding of the scriptures that we read. And each time such an occurrence takes place, we become more and more desensitized of our present condition. We lose focus of our priorities. We can fail to recognize the sense of urgency is because Jesus is coming and coming soon. As we look forward to earthly things, Satan influences us with what the world has to offer us and misdirects us with the things that are not eternal. Satan was not successful when he offered Jesus the world after Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the desert. Satan, however, has been very successful in fooling many today and choosing the world over heaven. When we look up and not forward, we're relying on Christ to save us. We understand our carnal selves and the need for God's patience and for his grace. His patience and his grace. We see ourselves as needy and weak. We understand that despite our frailties and weaknesses, God loves us and has set a plan in place to bring us back to him. And as a people here today, we have to take on the name of Seventh-day Adventists to tell the world and to remind ourselves of what we should be about and what should be our focus. As Adventists, we live in the hope and promise of Christ's literal return here on earth. And we rejoice in that hope. We read our Bibles. It tells us what to trust in and what to have faith in. Gentlemen, it's going back. I need Hebrews 9:28. Can you give me Hebrews 9:28, please? Thank you. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. John 14:1-4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And there where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. As a people, we've been waiting such a long time for something to happen. It is difficult to stay focused. I've been told that Jesus is coming my entire life, and I'm closer to 70 than I am 60. So I get it. I get it. It's easy to be distracted by the immediate and the worldly pleasures. Sometimes you just get tired of waiting altogether. We've been waiting for so long, we've gotten distracted by the responsibilities of life. We can find it difficult to maintain our levels of hope and our excitement about it. Have we settled in a state of complacency as a church, as individuals? The only way to keep the momentum going, the only way to keep the hope going is stay focused on Jesus. Stay connected in prayer. If it is our want to look up to heaven and not look forward onto earth, Jesus needs to be first in our hearts and minds. All else is second. All else is second. Are we not told to seek ye first the kingdom of God? If we're looking up, then the world will have less of an influence on the decisions that we daily make. The world will hold little ways in what we really see as important. Our priorities will change. Then, if we're looking up and not looking forward, then what? The waiting church needs to do more than just wait and believe Jesus is coming back. Should Jesus come today and ask what you have been doing while waiting for his return, is it enough to say that you've been patiently waiting? Is it enough to say that you believed in the church's theology and the doctrines, you've stayed clear of worldly temptations? Jesus calls the church, you the church. Jesus calls you to be an active church. He calls you to be his disciples. We need to do more than ensure our own salvation. We need to be concerned about the salvation of the world. We all know that one person in our neighborhood that will sit on their porch, and every time you drive by, they wave at you. I got a guy in my neighborhood like that. I look forward to driving by the house because I know he sees my gold truck. He'll wave at me. He's so quick to wave and smile. But is that the extent of his interaction? When you see him or you see her at the store or about in town, they don't have that quick smile. They're down focused, working on the task at hand. They're worried about worldly things. They don't have that quick smile or that engaging look to their face. They don't even recognize you. They're focusing on getting their groceries. They're focusing on getting their oil change. They fail to show you the warmth that they do from afar. I ask, are we those people? Are you that person? Are we that person that sits on our porch and waving at people with a nice Christian smile? But when we get off our porch in the presence of others, we don't engage? Are we sharing with strangers the good news? If this is us, loving and caring and waving to others as they pass from afar, we must engage. You must engage. You've got to take your chair off of your front porch and move it onto the sidewalk closer to the traffic and get engaged with the people. You got to get in the middle of it. Sitting back in the comfort of your porch only helps you. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, by its name and by its fundamental beliefs, is expected to be the church that actively participates in the gospel commission. And as its members, we must take ownership of that gospel commission. It is not only your right, it is your duty to take hold of that gospel commission and to share it with people. The ways in which we live and respond to the promise of the second coming is one of the things that should mark us. They should know who we are by the way we act. They should know who we are by the way we live. Now, there are many here today that actively give of their time and efforts and talents to provide for a place for others to come and fellowship and worship. They give back their talents that God blessed them with song, the ability to teach, working in the AV booth, work playing on the piano, the patience it takes to get a child's attention so that you can show them who Jesus is. I got the quads. There are those that use their free time to coordinate church events and handle church business. These people are looking up, not forward, most of the time, doing the Lord's work. It is a burden, but the burden is light, and the reward is great. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about a failure of mine. I'm proud of the failure of mine that I'm about to tell you because I learned something. Listen, all of us need to keep making mistakes. Just don't keep making the same mistake over and over. Make a mistake and learn and grow from it. I'm going to tell you about my mistake. I had an opportunity to visit a pastor in the hopes of having a worship service in his Baptist church in Gilbert, Arizona. This took place many, many years ago. It was my honor to locate and negotiate a new church rental for our congregation that had outgrown its present location. I came in with this meeting and a mandate to secure a building for our congregation to worship. I was prepared for the deep discussion of utility costs, comparable cost per square foot for rental property, the sharing of common grounds and its maintenance costs, the scheduling of in and out times for our church so that we could actively grow and continue to participate in our community. I had prayed to God that I would be prepared for any question that would arise concerning our financial well-being. I was not prepared for the meeting that I walked into. You see, the pastor had also prepared for this meeting. And being a Baptist pastor, he was well prepared. He took it serious. He was more interested in dispelling my beliefs you know, he saw me as a possible target to become a new parishioner of his. He wanted me to become a Baptist, and he was ready and prepared to get me straight and get me right. I was not ready to answer the questions he had about our faith at this time. He hit me with a barrage of questions. I was so dizzy. You see, he had prepared all week with this meeting in mind to straighten me out and to dispel my beliefs. A very different meeting than I had prepared for. I felt as though I had found myself in a boxing glove factory and it blew up and I got hit all over. It was crazy. I failed to be looking up. I had been looking forward. I should have been prepared to share the gospel with this man and let God take care of our building needs. He had already blessed us with the fact that we'd gotten so big that we needed a new building. Why did I think I needed to be in charge of that? I should have taken the opportunity to try to get his mind right. He was looking to heaven and not forward, and I was not looking up like I should. I got caught with worldly thoughts. That is why I so much enjoy Wednesday night Bible study. It makes me stop and focus in the middle of my week on heavenly things. No matter how busy I get, if I find myself in this church every Wednesday night, I know there's a time where I stopped the worldly thoughts and started thinking of heavenly things. Is Jesus coming again? Yes. How? As the Bible teaches. Matthew 24:30-31. Then the signs of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. This is not quiet. There's nothing silent about this. A great sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. Jesus comes this time not as a man of sorrows, but as a victor and a conqueror to claim his own. His place in place of his crown of thorns, he wears a crown of glory. Those that have been looking up, they're rejoicing at the sight of the king's return. Despair no longer will hold us. Those that look for Jesus' return rejoice in their salvation. But for those that only looked forward, they hide themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains. And they say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? You know, looking forward may get you somewhere here on earth. But looking up will prepare us for the eternity with the Father and the Son. In closing, if we are looking up, then what will we be doing when Jesus comes and tells us that we've been the good and faithful servant? We could be found and be found in Sabbath school. Maybe he finds us at Vespers. How wonderful would it be if he finds us at Wednesday night Bible study, or maybe after worship service, he finds us at the amazing fact study. Here is where his servants, his children, his ambassadors are studying the word and sharing his word. A wonderful speaker one time spoke of what happens to a burning stick when it's pulled from the fire and set aside, left alone. The stick burns out. It's the heat and the energy of created by two sticks together. Between the two, they keep the other one burning. He's making the point that what we need as individuals is fellowship in our worship. We are at best when we worship together. That is why I have such... I want you here. I know if you're not well and you're going to be at home and you're going to live stream it, I get it. But you need to be here. You need to have the heat off of the other stick to help you burn, because when you get set aside, it's real hard to stay on fire. It's real hard to stay on fire. What if many sticks are removed from the fire or not even put into the fire to start with? The fire would not burn as bright. It would not burn as hot. We all need to be joined together in our fellowship as we navigate this world, preparing for our Savior's return. You can help my fire burn brighter by showing up, by being here. The fact that you're sitting in this pew right now, you've got my fire burning. Together, we can remind each other that we need to be looking up to heaven, not looking forward to earth. That's why I need adult supervision. I married the right woman because she doesn't mind being the boss. I need people to remind me that I can't be looking this way. I got to be looking that way because I've got an issue with being task oriented. You tell me to do something, oh, it's on. I will run over old women and kick babies out of the way to get something done in a heartbeat. So when you tell me you want something done, you better look the path that you tell me I need to go and make sure there's nobody there I can hurt, because I'm going to get it done. The good news is, you ask me to do something, it gets done. Let us place ourselves closer to the traffic that drives by our home, our church, and make ourselves available to share God's message and to show others the face of Jesus as we share our stories. A good and faithful servant is just that, a servant, not an onlooker. Anything positive, anything good in our lives that comes from us looking up toward heaven, this enables us to connect to our Creator and our Savior. This puts us in a place where it allows the Holy Spirit to move us where Jesus wants us to be. It keeps Satan and his evil out of the line of sight. Let us daily commit as a church family to look toward heaven for everything that we need. Let us keep our eyes on the greatest prize, being in the presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for eternity. Let us rejoice that there is a home waiting for you and I in heaven, built by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.